Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Tippo.
That would be a little weird. I was actually at Brupolo last night.
I saw that.
I got me a hot chocolate on a
cold,
fairly
night.
Chilly,
rainy
night. Yeah. It was perfect time for hot chocolate.
Yeah. So, good call. And it's not weird that Brupolo is in Tupelo. Not weird at all.
No. That's where it's supposed to be.
Wherever you are in our great state, if you want to enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning, it's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. This holiday season, if you're looking for a great gift for a coffee lover, they're available right there. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I was at the grocery store today. I was talking to my guy, Brad, over at the meat market. And I was just like, all right, so late this week, prime rib. He's like, I got you. I was like, do you do them bone in? And he was like, yeah. I was like, could I get you to debone it, but give me the bones? He was like, absolutely. I was like, we're good then, man. We're good. So we're going to have that. That's going to be fantastic. Can't wait. Christmas is a beef holiday. We've been saying it all along. And I want to see your beef. Oh, yeah? You like that? I thought Robbie was going to give me a double take there for a second. Robbie is so distraught by the Steelers' loss. I think I could say just about anything.
And hey, I'm not distraught by the loss. It's just the message board's a drain. This football program's a drain. Everything sucks right now. I'm tired of everything.
Marcus, my old friend.
I mean, it's the Steelers just piled on to what's going on. It's like a repeated kick in the groin every single day. The same people saying the same stuff every day on the message board. The same things happening every single day with this football program. I just want it all to stop. All of it. I want people to stop being the way that they are. I want this football program and this university to stop being the way that it is. And I want the Pittsburgh Steelers to not do what they did on Sunday. So.
And in the sounds of silence.
All right, Beef Council. Let's move this party along, please.
This holiday season, make it about beef on Christmas Day. Prime rib, beef tenderloin, beef Wellington. Man, just do some steaks. I don't care. Beef, it's what's for Christmas. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. They need to trademark that one. Beef, it's what's for Christmas. That's a million-dollar idea right there. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. I'll have this podcast up Sunday evening. So if you're listening on a Sunday evening, there's still time to take advantage of the flash sale they're running up until midnight tonight on Sunday. The code is XMAS24, 25% off the website, online only, everything 25% off. Use that promo code to save. And if you can't make that, you can still swing by the two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, they're probably in a pretty good mood. They got a little money in their pocket this weekend. Didn't they, Robbie Falk?
They got your money.
Yeah, I got my money. That was a great meal, though. Fantastic food. It always is, and we always enjoy it. That's the beauty of this whole pick'em bet is nobody's really a loser. Somebody has to pay, but I mean, I got to put down a giant pork chop and some grilled oysters and some barbecue okra and a stuffed pancake. And what can my wife say to me? Like, I had to do it, honey. I lost the bet.
I mean, if there's a
content,
if there's a way to still be happy after blowing $150, it's eating at Restaurant Tyler.
$150 before tip. I tip, don't forget.
$151 on the bill.
Yeah, on the bill, yeah.
which was, I think, $25 up from last year because we'd added the char grilled oysters.
I'm blaming Joe Biden.
It's inflation.
Inflation,
got it. It's inflation.
All right. Next year, that'll be lower.
You know, I really wanted that stuffed pancake, and I thought if I ate my entire steak, I wasn't be able to get it. So I saved like half of my steak because
I bet it was just as good the next day.
I just ate it for supper on Sunday night. It was excellent. So we had the barbecued okra, the char grilled oysters. Mm. You love the pork chop. I love the pork chop, but you got that. I got the steak, and then we had stuffed pancake. It was great. It was everything that I wanted.
Next year, Robbie Faulk, you're going to be paying. You're going to lose. You're a loser. Brian Haydad's going to be a winner. He's going to have to take you, and you're going to pay for the dinner. And it's going to be less expensive, though, because I'm going to get the prices down.
Can we get the Trump dance from you?
I don't know how to do that dance. Like, yeah, I can. What's do this? It. Yeah, it is. It's like you're steering a really tight car.
Yes.
If I was in a Mini Cooper, that's what it would look like.
Just play YMCA. You're going to be walking into Restaurant Tyler next year if you win this, just doing the Trump dance, and I'm going to be carrying a boombox with YMCA blaring.
If I win next year and prices are lower, I will attend this dinner dressed as Trump. Black suit, white shirt, red tie. I'll do it.
With a wig on.
I'll even go to the tanning bed.
Oh yes. You don't have to go to the tanning bed, you just get sprayed on orange.
I can just go outside. I'll tan perfectly well.
Yeah, but you gotta look like, if you want to look like that, it's gotta be orange.
Got a little oranger. Yeah. Don't know what you're talking about. Natural complexion.
Totally natural.
Yeah. Restaurant Tyler. Looking forward to next year already. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you how to invest, manage your money, and how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it's important to know what's going on with your money. When you have a question, you want an answer. You don't want to be on hold with a call center with some big corporate bank. You want to talk to people at your local branch. You can do that with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It was around, it was in between the steak and the oysters on Friday where Robbie and I got the word that the Jackson Arnold sweepstakes had indeed gone to the Auburn Tigers and to Hugh Freeze. And so Mississippi State misses out. You and I, we had a little debate at the dinner table about this. And so let's have it now, I guess, a little bit, in that I'm gonna concede something to you to start. I will concede that Luke, I think we're getting it now. I think it's Cromenhawk. I think I'm right.
Cromenhawk or Cromenhoke?
It's Hawk, I think. I think it's Hawk at the end.
So, well, that doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, the Dutch, you know.
The Dutch. We're going back with the Dutch again.
It's got to be, right? Cromenhawk, he has to be Dutch. There's no other.
I don't know. Why are you asking me? How am I supposed to know this?
Robbie, you're an expert.
And what?
Everything.
Dutch? No.
One of the smartest people I know.
Well, you don't know very many people then.
That's true. Anywho, he is indeed a higher rated prospect than Jackson Arnold. By 1-3, 24/7, ESPN, whoever you want to point at, this kid will get Mississippi State a higher recruiting class ranking, transfer portal class ranking, if he commits to Mississippi State than Jackson Arnold would have given. I don't disagree with that. But Arnold was the hand-picked guy of Jeff Lebby. That's the guy he wanted. And he didn't get him. And
Cromenhoke is what Google's telling me is Cromenhoke. And that's this website, how to pronounce. So I don't know.
Cromenhoke.
Okay.
Cromenhoke.
Type my name in there. Type my last name in there. Here we go.
Hadad.
Yeah, so there we go. We're not trusting Google.
Well, we had this conversation the other day.
Yeah, but
I've seen a conversation about Bryce Pollock, who you said he was wrong about his last name.
I'm pretty sure it's Hawk. We'll find it. You know, look, if he signs, we'll get official confirmation. All right, we'll do that.
I'll just go watch a video later of somebody interviewing him.
Yes, that's
when
all
he was
I'm
being
do.
Recruited, and we'll deal right. with that.
So, last year I was willing to like let Dylan Gabriel slide. Right, I understood that guy was one of the top players in the country. He wanted to go play at Oregon, where his idol, Marcus Mariota, played. He wanted to put himself in condition to win a national championship. I got no issues with not being able to get Dylan Gabriel to visit Mississippi State. I don't have a problem with that. He went to Oregon on his first visit. He signed. God bless you. I understand. Not being able to get this kid here, to me, is a perception hit at worst, at best, I guess I should say, for Jeff Lebby. Because once again, his guy, he couldn't even get him on campus to talk to him. That's the problem I have.
I just don't. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not in that camp. I know a lot of people are. I know you are. You were very upset the other night when you found that out. Immediately yeah. we're saying Jeff Lebby's done. All this yes. stuff. He might be. I don't know. But that's your go-to. I don't think that it's that dire for me with the quarterback situation. If they get Groman, Hawk, whatever. If they get this guy, they got a good quarterback. They got a really good quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the portal. The goal in the portal was to get a guy because Jeff Lebby is enamored with Blake Chapin being the starting quarterback. They needed a guy to come in and back up Blake Chapin. And at the end of the day, we had this conversation on this show Thursday, forget when, but I said on that show, I believe that Blake Chapin being at Mississippi State was making things more difficult with the recruitment of Jackson Arnold because he does. I don't know if he wants to come in and compete with Blake Chapin or he wants to sign on to be redshirted next year. And I think that at the end of the day, was the biggest thing. Auburn offers him an opportunity to be their guy. He's probably going to start for them next year. We knew Hugh Freeze was going to do every single thing possible to keep him on campus, Bible study, whatever, I don't know. He was going to do everything possible to keep him on campus as long as he could and ultimately try to get him, you know, signed and whatever. And that's what happened. As we reported on Friday, Jackson Arnold told Jeff Lebby that he was going to take a visit on Friday. And it kept, Can got pushed down the road a little bit. And eventually it got to the point where, Mississippi State, felt like he was not going to come to campus. And they've moved on 100% to Krummenhoek. So that's, to me, get a good quarterback. I understand everybody is talking about how this is his guy, all that stuff. I get it 100%. But it's Jeff Lebby's job at the end of the day to go land a good quarterback. And the whole perception thing, I don't think that most of the outside world is looking at this and saying, yeah, but he missed on Jackson Arnold. I don't think anybody cares about that. I think if people see that Mississippi State signs the number two portal quarterback, that's all they're going to talk about is Mississippi State signing the number two portal quarterback. The average college football fan, the average college football media are not going to say, yeah, but he swung and missed on Jackson Arnold. That's a Mississippi State thing. That's not a national perception thing. On Monday or whenever, if this happens for Mississippi State, you will see a lot of people nationally say, really like this fit for Jeff Lebby. This kid could really elevate Mississippi State offensively. This is a big pickup for Mississippi State. I think this will be good positive pub for State if they're able to get him. And I don't think it's going to be all that different than Jackson Arnold because people are going to look at it and say, Mississippi State just landed the number two portal quarterback. Because it's very surface level with people. They look at the rankings. They look at, kids that were highly rated coming out of high school, they're going to see that this kid, has a chance to be really, really good in Jeff Lebby's offense. That is all that matters to me at the end of the day is that he gets a good quarterback in here that kind of, you know, settles your quarterback room a little more, where you have three scholarship quarterbacks and you can kind of go from there.
All I would say to that is this, that you every offseason, you and I talk about how, like, the national guys just see Mississippi State and they're just like last. And we always say, those of us who know, you know, look, these last couple of years they've been right. But in years past, that was not the case. And this is kind of the same thing to me. The national guys look at it and go, oh, they got the number two transfer quarterback. Great job. But you and I on the ground know that Arnold was the first pick. That's who Lebby wanted. And that's a miss. He missed him. He couldn't even get him to visit.
But when you're talking perception game, who cares about Mississippi State fans' perception?
You can throw my words back in my face here. I always say perception is reality. And in your case, in the case of what we're describing here, yes, Mississippi State is going to get some pub of, hey, they signed this highly rated quarterback. And the perception will be like they got a quarterback, right? But and then there's the actual reality, which is what I'm talking about here. That State missed out on their number one guy.
But the reality is they got a guy.
They got a guy.
They got a good guy.
They got a good guy.
A guy that's ranked higher than Jackson Arnold.
I conceded that at the beginning of the argument.
So my question is, why does it matter?
Because that's not the guy they wanted.
Because everybody said, oh, Jeff Lebby's putting all of his eggs in one basket with Jackson Arnold. And now all of a sudden, that's not true.
Now I
said Jackson Arnold. He goes out and gets a guy that's rated higher than Jackson Arnold.
When Crum and Hawk's name popped up on Wednesday, I believe, I said this is good that all the eggs are not in the Arnold basket.
So why all of a sudden are you upset?
It's because the number one. It's like if you have the first pick in the draft, or you have the second pick in the draft, and you think, okay, we're going to get this guy. We're going to get him. And then somebody picks him in front of you that you weren't expecting to pick him. So you get another guy, and maybe he's really good. But he's not the guy you wanted. The guy Jeff Lebby wanted was Jackson Arnold. That's who he wanted as his quarterback after Blake Shapen, and he didn't get him. And not only did he not get him, he couldn't leverage all of his relationship with this guy to even get him on campus to talk about playing at Mississippi State. To
make
an NIL offer.
At the end of the day, State is a 2-10 football team that is bringing back a fifth-year guy, a quarterback, and you're trying to convince a guy that wants to be a starter to come in here and join this situation. I think people have made this out to be like it's really easy for Mississippi State to go in the portal and just turn this roster over. I don't think people truly understand how difficult it is right now for Mississippi State to go out there and get really, really good players with the situation that they're in. Like people are just saying we just don't have money. We don't have any money. We can't. Everybody's telling us we got all this money and we don't have it because we're not in the game with guys. It is very difficult for Mississippi State to get in the game with elite talent right now when you put two teams up against each other. I'm not just talking about Jackson Arnold, but Mississippi State's recruiting some guys that are also being recruited by teams that are competing for the playoffs, that are just outside of the top 25 or something, that are in much better situations. And I'm not leaving State coaches out of it because they could spend some more money. They could go out there and try to get in the game with some more guys. But at the same time, just simply getting guys on campus right now is tough. And it's totally, a lot of it is on this staff. But I'm just saying it's not as easy as like, well, this just is a formality. Why didn't it happen? Well, I think there's a lot of things that go into a lot of these recruitments that make it more than that. And like the Jackson Arnold thing, I get what y'all are saying. I get what people are saying. This is his number one guy. Or whatever, but at the same time, it's his job to go get someone that can help him win. And I just don't – I look at these two quarterbacks, and I'm looking at it more of a, intangible thing. What do they bring to the table in the offense? Can they help Mississippi State win ball games? All that stuff. I don't really care about the perception that people are talking about. I don't care that it was his number one guy that he missed. All I care about is Mississippi State getting players. And if this guy comes in and he's competing for the starting job and he helps Mississippi State win ball games, literally no one will care that Jeff Lebby missed on Jackson Arnold. Nobody. Nobody's going to care. If this guy helps you get better a year or two from now, there's not going to be anybody saying, yeah, but, you know, he missed Jackson Arnold.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying here. I want to make that clear. You're correct.
I just don't understand how you can go from
because
I'm really happy that he's not putting his eggs in one basket and he's got this guy lined up. And then when reality comes into effect and he doesn't get Jackson Arnold, you're upset that the guy that he had as a replacement is potentially the replacement.
If Arnold had visited here and State, then he decides to commit to Auburn, I don't think it bothers me as much. It's that he could. It's that it's. It feels like Mississippi State can their connections never work out for Mississippi State. Like State has connections, and oh, they're not the right connections, or they're just not good enough. I was thinking about this the other day with the kid who committed to Ole Miss, the lineman Patrick Kutus, I believe is his name, or Kutus, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, I'm thinking, okay, former Arkansas offensive lineman, Arkansas's offensive line coach at the time coaches here. But then you see a message, you're about to do it. Oh, they didn't have a good relationship. Why is it that State never has the right relationship in place to get the guy that they have the connection to? It never fails.
Why didn't Ole Miss get Arch Manning?
Because they don't like because the Mannings don't like Kiffin. The connection there is that they're the dad and the uncle and the dad went to college there. Nobody who coached Arch Manning coaches
the connection
at Ole Miss.
Is the Mannings are as connected to a school as anybody
Peyton
has
either.
Ever been.
I mean,
to a school.
I can't. It's not like it's the first time. They didn't get Peyton either.
Yeah, okay, but I'm just talking about there's a huge connection. Cooper is the biggest Ole Miss fan of them all.
Cody Kennedy had to have recruited this kid, coached him for a couple years, and then he comes to Mississippi State, and again, you can't even get the kid to visit here. He just goes directly to Ole Miss. Now, I'm
and
sure –
And again, like, I don't think it's all the Cody Kennedy thing. It's the – like, can we not just admit – I know it hurts, but can we not just admit that Ole Miss is in a much better situation right
they
now than Mississippi
are.
State?
Absolutely are. I wouldn't – who would disagree with that?
Well, like, I feel like people are putting, you know, it's apples to apples comparisons right now with State and Ole Miss. Well, how is Ole Miss doing this and State can't? Well, State's 2-10 and has had three different coaches in the last 3 years, and Ole Miss has been on the verge of the playoffs, has a chance to win 10 games again under Lane Kiffin, and has been really good in the portal. Mississippi State is not.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if a kid chooses Ole Miss over State right now, mm-hmm. I'm just not going to bat an eye. I mean, like, that's just, to me, especially with a guy that has – no connections outside of Cody Kennedy to Mississippi State. Like if it's between State and Ole Miss, and a kid picks Ole Miss,
mm-hmm.
but that, it just know, is what it is right now. It sucks, but that's where it is.
But again, Lebby couldn't get Arnold here. Kennedy can't get an Arkansas kid here. Last year, Hutzler couldn't get any Alabama kids here. It just never works out for Mississippi State in terms of the connections. It just never does, and I don't know why that is. So you bring up an interesting point, and when we sort of, you know, we dance around it, we got to address. It's really hard for State right now. They're 2-10. Everybody in the SEC this year has something to point to that they can, you know, show to, hey, we beat so and so, and if you come here, we're really close to maybe being better or winning a national title. Can they do it? Can they get out of this?
That's the very difficult thing to do. I mean, it's been a conversation for weeks and months at this point. Like, how do you get out of this? The only way out of it is better players. And how do you get better players? Like, I really feel like the roster is going to be better next year, but is it going to be good enough to where, you know, Jeff Lebby is going to keep his job? Because
especially when you look at the schedule.
You look at the schedule and it's very difficult. And then you consider the fact that throughout this whole debacle of a season, you kept everybody on your staff. And that was just kind of unfathomable from the beginning that the entire defensive staff was retained after the product that they put on the field. But Jeff Lebby, in his mind, felt like it was more important for them to retain their staff, kind of keep the consistency. And yeah, you know, I mean, that's fine. But, you know, his job is now on the line next year. Mm-hmm. If you win two or three games, I don't see how you can keep Jeff Lebby with the fact that he didn't make any changes in the offseason. You know, the talent level, I don't think is going to drastically improve on either side of the ball. It, you know, the defense, I think, is going to be way more talented, and that doesn't really take much. But what are they doing on the defensive line? We've seen one guy on the defensive line that I feel like is a legit contributor next year.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important piece of this team in the offseason to fix, is the defensive line. And to this point, we have not seen much movement there.
We're not seeing a lot of offers for defense.
No, we're not seeing much of anything. And I don't understand, like, what's happening there. I don't understand why that wasn't a point of emphasis as far as making a change. I don't understand why that wasn't something that Mississippi State had a head start on in the transfer portal. You know, we've seen them bring in wide receivers, seen them bring in, you know, a few offensive linemen, defensive backs, linebackers, but we are not seeing much movement at all on the defensive line, and that is the most important piece this offseason for them to fix. And it's just not, like, are they running it back with what they got again? I don't know what's going on there. And maybe they have something coming down the pipe. I don't know. But you know, as of right now, that to me is the most egregious thing that we've seen. I know Jackson Arnold takes the headlines and all that, and State does need a quarterback. But to me, that is not as important as what needs to happen on the lines of scrimmage. And those are the two positions, offensive and defensive line, that desperately need some standouts. And, you know, it remains to be seen at this point.
And, you know, there's this, like, internet rumor that they're going to let Turner go at the end of the year. First off, I want to know why that would even be considered. And I swear to God, I swear I'm going to lose it if somebody says it's money. Oh, we have to pay him an extra 20 grand if he's fired before January 1st. I will snap if that's the reason.
I don't know what the reason could be.
So, and then if you're not going to fire him, Robbie, or if you are going to let him go at the end of the year, why is he recruiting for you right now? Or I say he's recruiting. Why is he even on the staff? Just put him on administrative leave. Do what I think it's FAU does this. They're like, reassign him to something where he doesn't have to do anything. Get his replacement in here now. This is incredible. And I swear, another thing that's going to make me snap if I hear, well, they're going to hire somebody after the playoff who's going to bring some players with them, because I'm not counting on that at all.
Yeah, I don't. I don't understand that, to be honest with you. I don't know if I've heard those rumblings. I've heard it from people that I trust too, but not enough for me to feel super confident it's going to happen. And if it does happen, it just makes no sense to me how it played out this way. If that's what happens in January and you make a coaching change on the defensive line at that point, it just makes zero sense. And, you know, we heard a lot of rumors about back in early December, they were waiting until after signing day to make some changes on the defensive staff. Of course, that never happened, but that didn't make a whole lot of sense either, the reasoning that, you know, I was given on that. So I just, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but we've talked about how important this month is for Mississippi State football moving forward. And it's starting, we're down to about a week until this portal closes. Now, they still got a chance to take players in, so it won't be over from there, but they'll have a dead period, stuff like that.
Right.
But essentially, you know, you're looking at another 15 days or so where Mississippi State's have to have major changes on that roster to feel really good about yourself.
And in reality, the week of Christmas – a lot of people aren't going to be visiting during Christmas. Like, they might come in 27th, 28th, but like.
No, I think that's a dead period, is it not?
I think the portal closes the 28th.
Yeah, but there,
Is there,
I'm
there's
almost
another
positive
dead
there's,
period in there?
almost positive there
And
is.
then, yeah, there's not a lot of time left. I mean, this is one of those things where, like, when Ole Miss picks up like three commitments in March or April, and State doesn't have any, and we're all like, oh, it's a long time to signing day. And in reality, it is, but it also isn't. This is the same thing. Oh, it's really early in the portal. It is, but it isn't. They need to get some momentum, and they don't have any right now. Now, I hate to crap all over the guys they have committed, and they've gotten some decent looking guys, some guys who I think can make a small impact, but they have not yet picked up a guy that I look at and go, that is a for sure starter, potential all-SEC kind of guy. That they haven't gotten anybody like that. Like Ole Miss pulled in a year ago when they got Walter Nolan, Prince Leumamielen, when they got guys like Trey Harris, and State hasn't gotten anybody like that. And I'm waiting on one guy like that at this point.
I do think that Brennan Thompson can be a breakout guy, but yeah, I mean it.
But that's just a projection. We're like,
No, that's just a
he's got the
guess.
tools.
The dead period's the 23rd through January 5th, so you won't be able to host players. I mean, so you're essentially looking over the next week. You've got to land some, and Lebby said 15 guys. They got what, seven now? Six? Seven. And he's got to have more than 15. I mean, there's no way when you look at the roster and people that have kind of already left. I mean, you got to have more than 15. I mean, I'm thinking more 20 range plus. And it's that several. I mean, it's almost every position. I'd like they're about good at safety because. We know, as we reported about a month ago, Stonka Burnside's moving to safety. So you got Stonka there along with, Jerron Manning, Isaac Smith, Tony Mitchell.
Hey,
I
Mitchell.
feel great about safety. The
Yeah.
SEC talent there is, I think they're
You're
good.
fine there.
So
That's one.
cornerback, defensive line, they have some good pieces at linebacker they could potentially get. Offensive line, they need a running back, they need a quarterback, they need another two probably wide receivers, they need a tight end. It's a whole roster thing, man.
It just feels like everything that other schools are able to do, get somebody on campus and get them to commit. Get people to shut down visits. Manage, leverage your connections to get guys from other schools to come visit you. The State can't do any of these things. They I mean,
And again, I do think that the 2-10
it
deal
hurts. There's
is
no getting around that. There's no getting around that.
because they had done that. I thought Lebby and them, they did that last year with some guys that were wanted, and whether or not they worked out, whatever. But guys last year were committing to Mississippi State on their visit, and it has shifted a little bit. We are starting to see more guys take more visits. But State still should be able to lock some guys down. Overpay some of these guys if you have to. Like Satania, I wouldn't let him leave without what's it gonna take?
I would
Like
have sat.
there's a number. There's a number that I'm gonna cut it off. But you gotta tell these guys like what can we do to get you? You've told people you got money. And I fully believe Mississippi State does have money. But you have that at your disposal this year. You were given that money by this fan base. To make sure that you got a roster put together that's going to be able to compete in this league. So you got to lock it down. You can't let these guys leave and go somewhere else and take a visit. You've got to make them a Godfather offer. So at least some of these guys. Now, some of them aren't worth that, but there's a few that they've gotten on campus that they just need to get locked up, even if it's just for like a PR win. Like, State needs good news more than anything right now.
100% agree with that. 100%. Yeah, just one guy to commit so they can so you can point to him. And even the thing, even with Cromanhawk, that would be a great pickup, right? Like you said, he's highly rated, potentially he's good. He does nothing to help you win next year. Zero.
Less shaping it's hurt. I mean, but.
Let me one last thing before we get out of the portal. Knowing what we know now about Jackson Arnold, Cromanhawk, whatever. I mean, I don't know. A friend of mine who follows Florida State said that Kroman Hawk wanted seven figures from Florida State. And when they balked, he hit the portal, right? So my guess is to get him here is going to be around seven figures, right? At that point, could you have just kept Van Buren? Could you just
keep
Van Buren?
So that's another one that I don't think is as cut and dry as that. I don't think he wanted to compete with Blake Shapen in the spring. I think you look at it, he's gonna have to compete with Nussmeier. So
he
that doesn't really make
with
sense.
Nussmeier. Nussmeier.
I don't think
harder.
I think there was just kind of like he wanted to kind of move on. If State's in a rough spot, it's his decision. I think we've tried to make it a conversation about all these guys, like State could have kept them or whatever. Yeah. I don't think it's that cut and dry. I don't think, I don't think it was a decision where State let Craver walk.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I think State would have liked to have kept Michael Van Buren.
Mm-hmm.
I think State would have loved to have kept Kevin Coleman. I don't think it was a money issue with all these guys. And I do think that played a factor. 1.5 or whatever that number is out there. I do think that played a factor that they just didn't feel like that was worth it. But I don't know if it was that easy. I don't know if it was just pay him 1.5 and he's staying.
Yeah.
So
I think 1.5 might have been like he might have said, yeah, I'll stay. Because again,
I have a hard time believing LSU paid him that. But
I do too. But maybe at that point when you're just out there and you don't want to go back to State, it's just like I got to take the best offer I can get.
Maybe I think that happens for a lot of guys, and yeah. You have these agents, like they're not all like this, mm-hmm. but a lot of these guys are like in their 20s and early 30s that they don't have a whole lot of experience in this themselves. And they are just like, it's crazy. The stuff that they're telling these kids,
and they're taking 20% off the top of these deals too.
And these kids don't know any better and they're right. trusting in these guys and they're just, some of these agents are absolutely ridiculous, and they're ruining these kids' careers. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. Like I said, some of them are doing it fair, and they're doing it good. But there's a lot of agents out there that are steering these kids into the portal, that are asking for outrageous money, scaring teams away, and they're screwing these kids. And they don't have the best interest for these kids. They're trying to make money themselves. And they're absolutely unqualified to do this, and it's kind of ridiculous what's happening right now. It's an absolute mess, and it's created a culture that I think is bad for college football. I've been vocal on that this past year. I like the competitiveness of the games, like the parity.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it's. I don't think the game and how it's played right now is super smooth and clean and all that. I think it's the culture of it is really kind of sour right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's been created by people getting in these kids' ears. You've given all the freedom to the players, which is fine, but there's got to be something that kind of hones this stuff in because it is outrageous right now. The amount of guys that are in the portal. Guys that are going to be left without a spot, players that are leaving good situations, thinking they're going to get better situations, and they see their career ruined. It's just a mess right now, man. And it's really hard to watch. I mean, every 5 seconds, a tweet comes across my timeline of somebody entering the portal, somebody committing somewhere else, visit. I mean, it's a headache.
It definitely is, and no bigger headache than what Mississippi State's trying to go through right now. We'll see if they can find some Tylenol between now and the start of that dead period that Robbie was talking about there. Let's move into the rest of the show, which will hopefully be more exciting. That's brought to you by our friends over at Pitt Printing and Signs. We saw the sign this weekend in Tupelo. We'll talk about Mississippi State women's and men's basketball in just a moment. If you need to see the sign with your business, call Pitt Printing and Signs. They can put together a plan to get the message of your business out to your current customers and to potential new customers. 30 years of experience. They've been around that whole time because they have helped the businesses that have worked with them. And you can help Mississippi State by working with Pitt Printing and Signs. 10% of your sale will go directly to the Bulldog Initiative if you ask for it. Tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. All you got to do is make the call. 601-499-5216. Speak to Cam Baker. He's the owner of the company. That's his number directly. So you're not talking to a salesman. You're not talking to a secretary. You're talking to the owner of the company when you call that number. And he'll get everything taken care of for you right there. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I was at Two Brothers on Friday. I ate at Two Brothers before I ate with Robbie. So I hit both sponsors in one day.
Yes, you did.
I did.
You couldn't have gone over to the older brother.
So I went to the older brother, but it was busy, and they had like three open tables, but somebody had already called a reservation in. So they're like, it's going to be like a 30-minute wait. I was like, I will simply go down around the corner to Two Brothers.
And they got your business.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. They got money out of me. So, yeah, Aislinn and I went to lunch on Friday, and it was real nice. We had a good time. So, smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers, fancy sandwiches at the older brother. Like I said, both businesses were hopping on Friday. That's great to see. And if you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, you want to enjoy a great meal. Those are two fantastic options right there in the Cotton District. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you, Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 50 years.
50?
50.
Brother.
Oh, we're throwing a brother in there. That's what I'm talking about.
We keep seeing everybody's running it back with these coaches. And these old coaches, is Houston Nutt going to get back in the game?
I think he's been blackballed, man.
We've had Rich Rodriguez.
There is no excuse that Houston Nutt has not had a nibble from somebody over the last – he last coached in 2011, 13 years. Don't tell me that guy couldn't still find his way to some wins at the right program.
Yeah. You know, it's strange. It must have been that stuff with Ole Miss. He's just like.
You mean those lies that Hugh Freeze told about him? Is that what you mean? When you say that stuff at Ole Miss, I just want to be clear. You mean those lies that were told about him by Hugh Freeze to cover up the cheating that he was doing?
Hugh Freeze lies?
I know, right?
Who
would believe information that came from Hugh Freeze?
The Auburn coach, Hugh Freeze?
Yes.
Liar. Interesting.
Yeah. They're not liars at Advantage Business Systems. They take care of you from throughout all stages of the sale and after the sale. That's the difference they give you. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. When you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. I actually hit three of our sponsors on Friday because I was at Maroon & Company. And I used the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off my purchase, as did a couple of our listeners who were in there and spoke to me and said, hey, I'm going to use the promo code THUNDER15. You should do that, too. This holiday season, save a few bucks with the promo code THUNDER15. It's available in-store or online, so you can use it wherever you are, and you can make a selection from the biggest and best grouping of Mississippi State merchandise out there. Before you go to any games at Mississippi State, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Robbie Falk and I were in Tupelo this Saturday for Mississippi State men's and women's basketball. I love what Jan said after the men's game and said that he and Purcell had spoken prior to all of this and decided to keep everybody engaged for the full 80 minutes of basketball because both of those games end up going down to the wire. Let's start with the women. How amazed were you they called that foul at the end? Because I heard the whistle, and I'm like, all right, overtime. And then I realized I saw a hand in the air. I was like, no, they did not. Because, you know, it's just one of those things you're trying to heave it down the court for a last-second shot, and there was some contact. That never gets called, but it was called on Saturday, and State hits a Nia Russell, goes to the line. It wasn't Nia Russell, right? Making sure.
No, it was not. It was Destiny McFall.
Destiny McFall. I read your story and still got the name wrong.
You were literally at the game. You were sitting.
I'm gonna come clean. I don't know the players by face. I don't know them that well because I don't cover the team. You know what? All right. I'm trying to be honest here. I'm just telling you, I don't cover the team that closely, so I don't know the players that well. All right? It's not like I'm out here writing about the Lady Dogs. I'm being honest. I don't cover the team that closely. I read your article, but I just got the name.
I appreciate that. Thank you for reading it.
Apologize for getting it wrong. But
thank you for reading it. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Clutch free throws, though. And that was at the end of a fourth quarter where State had missed enough free throws to put the game away much earlier. She goes to the line for three shots, gets them. State gets the win. That's a good win for Mississippi State.
It was. A really strange game. They didn't play very well for three quarters. They were down by 10 in the first quarter. They had like six or seven turnovers. Second quarter, they had closed it to five. It was a little bit better second quarter. And the third quarter, they gave up, I think, 20 points, and the lead grew.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just sitting there wondering, you know, is State going to be able to pull this off? This is a Belmont team that has lost. They have five losses now. Their first four came to four top 20 teams. And you can argue Mississippi State's a top 25 team. Their State's one loss came to Georgia Tech, who beat top 15 North Carolina on Sunday, and they're now undefeated. And State lost that game by three on the road. So State, to me, is a top 25 team. So essentially, they've lost to five top 25 teams now.
Yeah.
And State won this game by – I think 2 points last year on the road at Belmont, always a tough team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they outplayed Mississippi State for most of the ball game, and State had a chance in that fourth quarter to really pull away. They were up seven in the fourth quarter and just kept missing free throws, kept allowing Belmont to stay in the ball game. And eventually they tied the game with 3 seconds left. And, you know, going into overtime, I didn't have a lot of faith and MSU, the way that they closed that fourth quarter out. And Destiny McFall said that they were talking in the huddle, and Jerkayla Jordan had told them, hey, if you don't have a good shot, if you don't think you can make it, try to draw a foul. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And the player that fouled her had gone off for like 23 points, and she actually fouled out on that play. It was just, to me, just not a smart defensive play. And they don't usually call that.
They don't, no.
And, you know, they were upset about it, clearly, but you can't do that. You can't close on a guard like or a shooter like that on a half-court shot and be as tightly covered as they were on that play and just expect it not to be called. I mean, you got to do whatever you can to make sure you're not doing something that dumb. And she fouled her. And honestly, if we want to just really get down to the nitty-gritty on it and criticize officiating, DeBrisha Poe was called for a foul on a three-point shot that was not a foul, and they got three free throws off of it. So it's virtually a wash. It's just unfortunate for Belmont that theirs happened with 0.2 seconds left with the game tied. But really, three really big free throws from Destiny McFall there for a team that had been struggling from the line to find a way, and that's – a big win. I think Belmont has a chance to be top 50 RPI or net. They're probably going to win the conference. They're going to have a chance to get in the NCAA tournament. So that was a good win for Mississippi State.
You know, with those free throws, the first one is so important, right? Because it feels like, you know, if you make the first one in that situation, 0.2 left, you know that only a tip-in could beat you. You probably have won the game if you just make the first one, right? But if you miss the first one, the pressure is out on so much. So big ups to her for getting all three of those free throws. Very, very clutch. The men's game, this is two games in a row, Robbie, where they have gotten off to a really slow start. And that is a worry for me. I'm starting to wonder this team. I still think they're a tournament team. Don't take away from that. I still think with the right matchup, they can be a second weekend team. But the way they start games these past couple of weeks, those are going to be 20-point deficits that you can't climb out of when they start getting into SEC play. Fortunately, Mississippi State was able to make some shots down the stretch. They were able to make the difference on the free throw line. And then R.J. Melendez, who's been State's best player out of the portal thus far this season, 18 points. He only had three rebounds, but none bigger than the offensive rebound after a missed shot that gave the Bulldogs possession as time was running out. He makes a couple of clutch free throws, and State gets the win, 68-65 over McNeese, over Will Wade. And Isaac Stansberry playing Connor Stallions down there on the bench, reading the signs. That
guy. He was taking Jan's signs.
He was. But I thought, you know, McNeese is a team, they've had some tough losses. They played a very tough schedule thus far. I would imagine in their conference they're going to be very, very good. We'll see if that's the case or not. But that game stacks up as a quad 2 win for Mississippi State. Now State, I believe, is 4-1, quad one, quad two. I had a question about the net. I need to know the answer to this. I don't understand it. Ole Miss is ahead of State in the net. Ole Miss is 22, State's 25. Ole Miss is 2-1 in quad one. They have no quad two games. State is 2-0 in quad one and 2-1 in quad two. So that's 4-1 in those two. Why is State behind Ole Miss?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
And the metrics have actually liked Mississippi State a lot more than Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know why.
You know, they played Purdue. BYU's tough. So, you know, I get it. They've played probably the tougher teams as far as like top end.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really don't. State Weird. State dropped they're at 25 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They stayed the same. They didn't move after this win. So
SMU's gonna turn out being a really big win.
It's quad one right now.
It's a quad one win. I think it'll stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Won't possibly drop. Pittsburgh will be. So. And then to me, like it just State's where they need to be in non-conference because you're about to have your strength of schedule is going to go way up whenever you play SEC games.
Mm-hmm.
You win a couple of those big games, you're going to go up in that, obviously. State's in a good spot because they're not going to drop tremendously in the SEC unless they're just losing a lot of games. And at that point, they're not going to get the tournament anyway if they're going to lose a ton of games.
They just need to – Memphis, whatever happens at Memphis happens, right? That's a quad one game. If you lose it, it's not that big a deal. It's obviously be a huge win to get it, but if you lose it, it's not a big deal. Don't slip up against Central Michigan and Bethune-Cookman. And you're at worst, 11-2 going into non-conference or going into conference play? You're fine. You're fine. And then, like you said, 9-9 in the conference, you're going to the NCAA tournament. You're probably like a 6th seed. You're in great shape. But they just need to not slip up in these next two games. They have the game Tuesday in Jackson, and then they have the final home game is the 28th. So that's two Saturdays from now at the Hump. And then between that and Memphis on the 21st. An 11 a.m. tip. I think you and I will both be at that game at FedEx Forum. So that should be fun.
And could have slipped up the last two games. I mean, credit. It's the same thing for the women. These two teams are combined 19-2, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of teams for both the men and the women probably would have lost a couple of other games.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to give them credit. While they don't look great in some of these games, like with, take away the Pitt game, which was the best game quite possibly they've played under Chris Jans. They're winning. They're finding ways to win. That to me is big because you still got two teams that are gelling together. I mean, we look at all the different starting lineups that Chris Jans has had. Yeah. I mean, you just don't have like a core group that like there just hasn't been like a rotation that they've kind of locked in on. And the women are the same way. I mean, they have two starters back from last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking time for them to all gel. But the good news is you're winning these ball games, and you've had some big wins on both sides. You know, the women have beaten a top 25 team in Utah on a neutral site who beat Notre Dame, who's number 3 in the country. The men beat a top 15 team in Pitt. They have a couple other really good wins. I think the McNeese game was a game that we all circled when we saw the schedule and said, that's going to be tough. Because last year, this was one of the best mid-majors in the country. We all know how good Will Wade is. We knew that was going to be a tough ball game. State found a way to win it. That's all that matters. I thought this game, seeing the trends of Chris Jans after bad performances, what they do, mm-hmm. I thought State could sneak in there and get a big win. But it was a little more hairy than we thought. But, again, they won the ball game. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So, good win for the Bulldogs. Another good, like I said, quad two win, I believe, for State at this time. So, good stuff for the Bulldogs going forward. All right. Tomorrow's show, maybe some more portal news to talk about, maybe some basketball to talk about. Going forward, we got a full week of programming. Looking forward to it. A lot of good shows. Looking ahead for a week, the week of Christmas, we will do a show on the Sunday/Monday to recap what happens in Memphis. I think like that's an important thing. Plus, that'll be ending the portal recruiting. So we'll do a show then. Then we're going to take some time off, enjoy the holiday, And we'll be back with you after that as the start, basically the start of conference play and the start of the new year here on Thunder and Lightning. So but we got a full week this week. Looking forward to it. Talk to you guys again tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.